Welcome to the first episode of the Earned First podcast. It's a big day as we launch our podcast. It's actually been 30 days since the Earned First newsletter went out. And I couldn't be happier to be joined on our first episode by our first guest, Nitin Mantri, who is the group CEO of Avian We and also is president for We Communications Asia Pacific. Nitin, welcome.
Thank you, Arun. Thank you, and truly honored to be your first guest. And I'm sure it's going to be a rocking start to your podcast, considering you have me as your guest. So there you go. I'm sure it's going to be only up from here. Absolutely.
I think this is the peak. It's going to be downhill from here. But let's see how we go. A lot for us to discuss. I was very keen to get you on because I think you have quite a unique view of the market, because not only do you have so much experience in India, but you oversee Asian markets for We, and also you've done a lot of international work with both ECO and PRCAI. So I'm very curious to hear your thoughts on the market. But let's start with Avian, which I believe is now more than 20 years old.
Yeah, we turned 21 last month. We had 20 wow. years last year. We had a great big party to celebrate. And legally allowed to drink in some states, as I say.
Excellent. yeah, but not, I mean, I'm sure that's never stopped you guys before. But
never.
The interesting thing to me, of course, is that Avian's journey kind of mirrors the Indian PR industry as a whole. It was, you know, if you compare the PR industry in India in 2004 with today, I mean, it's like a quantum leap, I would think, given the advances in both technology, in media. How different is it compared to 21 years ago?
Well, it is very different. I think that probably the traditional PR agency is dead. It is, today we have from social, from designers to creative to analytics to AI, everything, geopolitics or policy people. So it's kind of much broader. That's the first thing. Two, we're growing. India continues to grow at a rapid pace as a market. If you see the PRCI results, survey results in 23, the industry grew 19%. Last year was probably similar, 17-18%, 24, though I don't think the reports come out yet. But we'll be probably in the late teens, right? So in that region, right? So the industry is growing high and fast, for sure.
Yeah, it's really impressive, actually, that the level of growth, of course. I'm sure that's, one of the key factors in that must be India's outperformance as an economy. Compared to other countries, India is one of the bright spots at the moment, it seems. You know, GDP growth is strong. Many economic indicators here are positive. How do you view PR growth in India versus other markets in Asia? Is it more healthy in India?
Yes, it is. India seems to be growing faster, for sure, compared to other markets in Asia Pacific. And if you just see, and you're right, it's a reflection of what's happening in India also at the moment. The economy is growing, the country is doing different things. And as I was saying, you can be in India and actually see and be part of that change, whether it's on the policy side, whether it's behavior change, whether it's, just change in attitude and tastes. All that is really, really happening across the country, different markets, different regions. So it's exciting. And that's why clients need more and more comms support and help.
Yeah, and you do see that coming through in the work. I really find some of the best of India's public relations work is really kind of, it's multifaceted, but it tells you things about the country that you might not know otherwise, especially if you're not that familiar with India. You know, some of the trends in terms of youth, in terms of rural communities, in terms of, you know, emerging demographic, emerging regions in vernacular, public relations. I mean, how do you stay on top of all of these things? Because, you know, it's hard. It's probably easier in a smaller market. It's even easier, I would argue, in a country like the UK or the US, where you have, I would say, more of a homogenous culture compared to India. How do you stay on top of, you know, there's many Indias. How do you stay on top of them all?
1.5 billion. But yes, it's tough. It's complex. I'll say that for sure. You just stay on top of it because you just have to be on top of it in terms of just understanding the politics, the economy, the culture across the region. I treat that as if you just mentioned the UK, right? But if you don't take the UK, but take Europe as a whole, where you have Eastern Europe and Western Europe, Europe to put together with different markets, different countries, different cultures, but still sort of led out of Brussels in a way. I'm not the UK anymore, but the rest still. It's sort of similar, different media, different cultures, different politics, bound by some commonality. Yes, the only difference is the scale is very different. The number of people is very different. The GDPs are very different in each state. And that's where the complexity lies. And that's why you see, Arun, also more and more younger PR firms coming into the country and growing this space. And not only in India, but taking their brands outside of the country.
Yeah, absolutely. We are seeing Indian PR firms expanding to the Middle East, which is interesting. And indeed, we're even seeing a couple of Indian PR firms that are aiming to list on the stock exchange.
Yeah, India has a small and medium enterprise stock exchange, which seems to be doing really well. And these two agencies who we know about, one of them is in advanced stages, and they're raising money to expand. How else do you raise money? You either put in your own money, or you raise it from the market and expand, and they're all going to the Middle East, or some of them investing in different capabilities, whether it's AI or policy or influencer analytics, I don't know, but they'll probably be investing in capabilities and regions.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the things you talked about, the differences in culture in India and the thing, I think, you said it comes out in some of the awards functions and the campaigns. You're right. Because at Cannes last year, and I do want to pick it up, was where two campaigns from India won Cannes. I haven't seen that in the past. Two agencies winning. One of them was ours, which was around hygiene. Cultural thing. It was around hygiene and women, about a loo locator app. And the second one was Coke Studio, which talked about the complexity or the talent of different languages in India. And they won it for, I think, the Gujarati language piece, the campaign they did. So, yeah. So, you're using the complexity to actually create great campaign work.
It's a really good example of how diversity is a source of strength.
Yeah.
And probably, given some of the trends we see, at least in Western markets, it's nice to see that, right? Because it's getting harder, it feels, in certainly in the US at least, to make that case for diversity. But in India, and I think sometimes this is something people don't necessarily appreciate about the country, is just the scale of diversity here. It's quite bewildering. But having said all that, those are some of the positive things. But the one concern, maybe not, obviously not the only concern, but one of the big challenges I think facing the public relations sector in India, it still seems to be undervalued, right? If you compare the value of an average assignment in India and, what public relations firms get paid, per hour, how much of a challenge is this and how can it be addressed?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the India public relations market is still, we still don't probably charge or charge enough. The retainers are on the lower side, I would think. Hourly rates, I mean, let's not even talk hourly rates. We don't do hourly rates in India. so I wish we did. I think, you know, like every other market, the market will also mature over time. But I think part of the responsibility is with the agency and part with the clients. And I think the clients mm-hmm. need to also sell better internally to their stakeholders to do more integrated campaigns on a much larger canvas. What I saw at Cannes last year, or what I saw see when I do jury judging, even at Sabres I've done in the past, or for other awards like PR Week and stuff, it's the canvas is much larger.
Yeah, and you know, the companies here are not necessarily smaller, right? There's really big companies in
Absolutely.
India. I presume the homegrown companies, maybe do they view public relations a little bit differently? Are they less likely to fund comms compared to multinational companies?
Yes, they. So you're saying are the homegrown companies less likely to spend money?
Yeah.
Yes, traditionally they felt that because they were homegrown, they had an added advantage. But I think that's changing, and I'm hoping it changes for the better. Where you see homegrown companies now investing in corporate reputation work, because if they do feel that reputation is, once it gets hampered, and today's audiences are so, well, they're not really super loyal, right? As we know, and so they do want to be more in front of their audiences and protect corporate reputation, because as one of our studies did a couple of years back, your audiences will name you and shame you in a second, and that would be it.
So I appreciate, you know, I agree with you. I think that part of the reason for this kind of persistent undervaluation of public relations in India is down to the clients. And you do get the sense that the comms function on the client side is not necessarily empowered and sometimes is viewed quite tactically. But if I was to ask a comms director, they would say, well, it's the agency's fault. You know, their people are always changing and they're not solving our business problems. They're just more concerned with selling us more stuff. So how would you respond to that kind of a claim?
Okay. Okay, so first, to be fair to them, I think the first thing that our clients or communicators, you know, when I see the report of PRCI in 24, which they measured, at least the measurement side, they're now measuring public relations by business impact and not by media volume, which is a massive change, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, so they understand they have to kind of expect to influence outcomes and shape reputation, deliver on business goals, etc. Having said that, I don't think it's about talent. 2 years ago, if you had asked me this question, I would have said talent is the biggest challenge for the industry. I think that's easing out. It's not so much of a big challenge anymore. And two reasons for that. One is the industry, the work we do is much more diversified from analytics to social to media relations. And so we're not hunting only for the same person in the media relations space, which we were earlier, right? Secondly, the industry itself has grown, right? So we, and the pool has grown because the association agencies, we've all put in effort to grow that pool through institutes which have come up, like SCORE, for example, and others have come up really, really well. So I don't think it's a talent issue. I think it's an issue is how do we all integrate different areas to build campaigns on a larger canvas? One, and does my client have the responsibility across those, right? So I don't know if you see that as a trend, but I do see that slowly you're seeing corporate affairs functions being held centrally with external comms, policy and sustainability under that one roof reporting into the CEO. So that is the change I think will enable all of us to do large campaigns on large canvases, because then you have the client responsible across functions. Right? Our clients are functions. That's the challenge.
Yes, true. They have quite a narrow scope at the moment. And it does sometimes feel like, certainly on the in-house side, that comms is still very much focused on media relations. Do you think that's still the case?
No, I think it's changing. I think, again, I don't know the numbers top of my head, but if you see the report from the PRC, I think the media relations is now less than 1/3 of the work that the agencies are doing, or 1/3 of the work.
Right.
But it's still a very important part. 1/3 is still a very big, big number. So it's come down from probably 40, 45% to 35%, but it is still a big number. I think media is still thriving, so media relations will remain. Yeah. And I don't have a problem with that personally. But as long as we integrate it with other things, because who is reading that media? I mean, we all ask the same question. My daughter doesn't. So I said, my daughter doesn't. She's on social, Instagram, et cetera, et cetera. So consumption of news is different for different audiences. So I think we'd recognize that. Clients recognize that. I think it's about how much responsibility they have. What is the scope? How narrow it is, right? Or how wide they can go. That's where the challenge is.
Yeah, sure. Are you seeing, because this also feels like a moment of generational change in the industry, right? In that many of the agencies and even the in-house roles have been held by, or have been led for like the last 15, 20 years by the same people. Are you confident about the next generation coming through and their ability to you know, take on leadership? I guess it's, in some cases, it may be a different kind of person, a different kind of leader even.
Yes, I think, okay, so to answer, it's a very good observation, Arun. There is a generational shift. You've seen big comm leaders who are moving out, younger ones coming. Agencies also, you've seen this in our agency. We are transitioning to leadership in India. We have actually, and so in and we've seen it in other agencies as well. The leaders are great. I think the younger leaders will have a fresher outlook. They will not have the same. They've actually probably some of them have come when they were sort of in the new age of public relations in a way. So they understand some of those technologies better than probably we would, I think. They would be more focused. They would probably be more future forward, I would think. And that would be good for the industry. So answer your question, is the industry in safe hands? I would think so, absolutely. I would think, you know, I can definitely comment on the agency side for sure. The only comment I would make, I hope it goes on well with people when they listen to this podcast, is that I think on the comm side, on the company side, people do need to invest in talent which is experienced, because you're managing corporate reputation of a large entity. And in that case, you do need experienced people. And you asked me the question earlier about Indian companies or even MNCs. I don't think they should look at cost in this function. This is a very important function. And sometimes I feel companies are hiring maybe one, two bands lower just to save on some costs, because they may feel that it's not an investment, it's a cost center. And So that's, we need to change that.
Well, I think that's not a challenge that is exclusive to India. I think that's something we see in many markets. Let's just talk about public affairs quickly. You've, in conjunction with one or two of your colleagues, you've built quite a successful public affairs business in India called Chase. And that's relatively unique, because most of the other comms firms in India do not have such an evolved PA capability. But of course, now everyone is looking to build in public affairs, and not just in India, right? It's become a real growth driver. Are you seeing that across Asia as well?
Oh yeah, 100%. We've just set up our Chase Advisors office in Malaysia 6 months back. We are expanding that brand in Southeast Asia market. So yeah, are we seeing more demand for this? 100%, that kind of work. And not only in Asia, but India for sure. I think Asia will develop, and we will see that whether it's Indonesia, Malaysia, Vietnam, you will see this kind of work, policy-driven work being needed, 100%. Singapore is still the hub for all of this. That will remain, which is fine. But yeah, today, from a comms perspective, around more than one third of the global PR market is APAC, and that is continuing to grow faster than other markets. So if I look at the, you know, look, I think this was an eco report which said 36% of the global PR tools market is APAC. And if you add policy, that kind of becomes more and more and more.
Well, it's curious, isn't it? I will look at that, because if you look at the networks anyway, I mean, there's very few that are making more than around 15-20% of their fee income from Asia, right? If you look at the big global networks. So it's an interesting finding. But back to the public affairs, I mean, obviously, we always talk about talent in this industry, and I sometimes think we could talk about talent forever. But with public affairs, that does seem to be a bottleneck in different markets.
I agree. It's a big bottleneck. We face that on a regular basis. You need people who come from different backgrounds, from legal, sustainability, you know, ESG, or from the social impact space. You know, so you need, or from the Big Four, from a consulting background. So you need a wide variety of people, and it's very tough. It is a tough market. Having said that, you can demand more premiums. You can hire better. Therefore, but still, quality of people is still less. Good quality people are less. Fine. But hey, it's a growing space. I can tell you, this is one space that everybody's looking at now.
Okay, so are you ready to talk about Cannes?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
Okay.
Our favorite place.
Or not. Well, you're kind of a Cannes veteran, I think, at this point, right? How many times have you been?
How do you define a Cannes veteran? You've done what, 17, 15?
Yeah, this will be my 14th or 15th.
There you go. I'm nowhere close to you. I'm like 4 or 5 probably.
Okay, good. So you're still, I think, probably more enthusiastic than me about it. I think everyone is more enthusiastic than me.
I thought last year was excellent. Last year was one of the best. I felt the industry had come of age in a way. The PR industry had found, was there in, you know, it was there in the awards functions. We won awards. There were some great campaigns. The way we present, I mean, I was on the jury, so I saw some of the awards that the way we presented awards was much better. It was good to be there last year. And in general, there was a lot of technology. There was a lot of great sessions, et cetera, et cetera. It was good to be there. Sorry, I don't know if you want to ask me a question, but I just went ahead.
Oh, I don't know what questions. I feel like with Cannes, every question has been asked. But let's talk about, I was having a discussion with some other people in the industry about Cannes, and they were, you know, quite opposed to the idea of going. And it reminded me that it's still quite a small percentage of the public relations industry that one enters Cannes and two actually goes to Cannes. So how do you feel about it? I mean, you presumably you see value in being there. And how would you explain that value to someone who is skeptical?
You know, I think the value cannot just be, I think people look for an ROI in everything. I don't think the ROI is so material or it's so definite here. I think it's about, you go there and you just feel the buzz, you feel what's happening, you see what's happening. The creativity, just you just get immersed in that creativity that's there, right, in the festival. And that goes back into your thinking and the way you work within your agency and the way you speak to your clients and the way you deliver work. I think generally it helps, I think. One, two, you meet a lot of great people across a different spectrum, right? The one thing that we did, and you're right, a lot of people are skeptical. I think cost is a big element, unfortunately, right? It is an expensive show to go to, even to attend. Forget getting there and staying there, but even to enter, it's not cheap. But what we did from an eco perspective, Arun, was we said, as an industry, we need to be here. We can't not be here. And we've decided that every board, we'll try and get our board members to attend. So we every year we're going to do a board meeting at Cannes now. We started last year, we're doing it this year. Well, that gets you at least, if you have 25, 30 agencies from different countries representing, mm-hmm. that's 30 agencies, or let's say 20 agencies definitely coming. Mm-hmm. They have another reason to come to.
And also, it's the kind of agencies that maybe wouldn't go to Cannes otherwise, because yep. we know the networks are there.
Exactly. The networks are there. These are younger, independent firms. And, yeah. you know, they're there and they feel it yeah. and they like it.
Now, I think, you know, despite how kind of ambivalent I am about Cannes, I've always thought the industry's better off being there than not being there, because, you know, what is that saying? Either you're at the table or you're on the menu. Yeah. I feel like, yeah, you're better off being there. And ultimately, this is a festival of creativity. And yeah, I don't think public relations people should be opting out of that. Now, of course, cost is a big factor, I think. And I'm sure it's particularly a big factor in India, right? Has there been any efforts to try and... has that become easier in any way?
Huge efforts. The association is doing Fit to Win campaign to encourage agencies to enter. I think we had 3 or 4 different entries last year. I don't know about this year, but last year I know 5 or 6 agencies entered. 2 did win, like I mentioned earlier. And so it's...
Great.
And they say that Cannes, you have to apply 3 times before, average of 3 times before you win an award. So we've just started. But, you know, you're right. Creativity is such a big, it has become such an integral part of what the PR agency is today. Therefore, we can't escape it.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, we will see how it goes this year. We'll see if, last year, what was it? Three Grand Prix were won by PR firms.
Yeah.
So for the first time, it's quite a high bar, I feel. So
let's hope.
It'll be interesting. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Nitin, I think that's all we are going to cover today. So thank you so much for joining the Earn First podcast.
And you're welcome.
I will see you soon.
Thank you for having me, and best of luck with the rest of the series.